Ghosts are everywhere.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, so scary.
It's spooky time.
It really ding dang is. It is our time to shine. Hooray.
It's us, your ghosts.
That's right. Your ghosts with the mahosts.
To talk about spooky stuff.
Ooh.
On this here spooky season.
Yeah, baby. Mm-hmm. This is our last episode before Halloween.
Before the spookiest day of the year.
Oh, baby. And honestly, for the first time in... By the way, I'm Carly.
I'm Cecilia.
And this is Ghosts Are Everywhere. I'm sure you know that. But if you don't know that, now you know that. But I was going to say, for the first time ever in Ghosts Are Everywhere history, we're not having a Halloween special.
Not really. I mean, mm-hmm. When you think about it, every week is Halloween on Ghosts Are Everywhere.
Yeah.
So... We will be talking about spooky things.
For sure.
And a spooky place that we were
We were just at.
Mm-hmm. But because we're doing our live show
next week. What? We're doing a live show next week? Hey!
What? So because we're doing that is our Halloween episode.
Yeah, we thought work smarter, not harder. And we are.
That one's our spooky Halloween episode. That's right. So that's our spooky special that we're giving you for Halloween. And if you want it to be extra special, the link is going to be in the show notes this episode. And you can buy your dang tickets
and come see us. Yeah, it's November 3rd, 2022, here in Hamilton, the place where we are both from, Hamilton, Ontario, at the wonderful Staircase Theater. And it is such an excellent venue. It is one of the best in the city, one of the most fun. And thanks to our friends at the Fable and Folly Podcast Network, we are having our show in their incredible studio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be high tech. It's going to be silly. It's going to be spooky. Mm-hmm. It's going to be everything you dream.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, tickets are available now. We are running low on our tier 2 special tickets, our VIP tickets.
We are actually, running real low on them.
So if you want to get one of those, they come with something.
They come with some cool stuff. They come with some extra perks. They may even come with some extra perks than are even listed in the Eventbrite description. So I'm just saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they come with some special artwork, some cool extra things to show that you're a special big-time fan of the show, and it's super awesome.
Yeah, so you want to be a special good-time pal, then get one of those.
Yeah, or if you just want to be a regular pal, you can get one of the regular ones, too, and we'll love you as well.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much, but we'll love you also.
And there will be fun, cool merch if you want to be extra special, but you're picky.
That's right. And yeah, there'll be exclusive merch available at the live show that will not be available until then. So if you want to be one of the real deals, come and see us on Thursday, November 3rd. Doors are at 7, show's at 7:30, baby. And we may or may not have, I don't know, something special lined up for you. I don't know. What do I know? I don't know. I'm only a co-host of the show.
Ghost?
Who are we to know?
Ghost?
But yeah, we'll be telling some local stories. We'll have some local laughs. You know how they say local jokes get local laughs. So we're hoping for some of those. But if you're not a towner, I mean, don't be a downer. Just come on. It'll be great.
That's the type of content that you're going to be getting at the Ghost Are Everywhere live show.
And you love it. That's why you're here. You're here every week and you still love it. Uh-huh. You are welcome. And we are happy to give it to you. Hooray.
Carly.
Yes, Cecilia?
What are we going to be telling the people about today?
Oh, baby. We've got ahead of ourselves talking about next week's live show. But this week, we have an awesome show for you today. Cecilia and I, if you don't know, have just come back from the Windy City. And
the windiest city,
the windiest city of them all, New York. we know it's the Big Apple, okay? So we came back from the Windy City. I was there for over a month. Cecilia was there for just under a week visiting while I was there. And we had a wonderful time. A great time. We saw lots of things. We did lots of things. We ate food. We saw things. And we talked and saw ghostly things.
We saw so many things.
Can I say things one more time?
I don't know. So many things. I don't know if you really told them about all the things we saw, but we definitely saw some things.
Yeah, well, I don't want to give too much away yet.
So that's what we're going to be telling you guys about today, is that we saw things in New York.
Yeah, New York, New York. We saw
New
things.
New York. Yeah. We saw some... I don't know if we spoiler alert.
Oh.
Did we see any ghosts? Ooh, I don't know. Ooh, ooh. But we saw some big city spooky stuff.
Yeah, we sure did. Things like $20 cocktails, American.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
Yes. Yeah, it was really scary.
It's really scary, and I was really frightened. Lots of spirits, but very scary.
20 of your American dollars for a cocktail.
Yeah, at the very least. Yeah.
Terrifying.
Terrifying, scary. Ah.
Very indeed. But do we tell our stories first, or should we just talk about some things that we saw and did?
Let's get the lay of the land. Let's talk about New York, mm-hmm. and then we'll get into the ghosts.
Yes,
we'll get
okay. into the ghosts. Yeah, so you are, as our resident New York resident, yes. for a whole month.
Great.
What do you have to tell us about this place that you have been?
Oh, my God. The thing that people kept asking me while I was there is like, oh, how's New York? What am I supposed to say? It's bad? It's the best. The answer is always,
maybe
it's the best.
It's really expensive and it's kind of stinky sometimes.
Yeah, but you could just be describing any city. Like, you're describing where you live, Toronto. Like, you know?
Yeah.
That's also describing where I live, Hamilton. Like, it's everywhere. It's, things are expensive, yeah. and they're smelly.
And
but,
they're stinky.
But, like, a city like New York, the New good York. Always, for me, outweighs the annoying or bad. Because it's like all the things that you hate about any city, but with every perk that you could get nowhere else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Dollar pizza. Come on. Winner of life. Number one.
$20 cocktails.
$20 cocktails. You know, like, balance. We love, I'm a Libra, we love balance.
Exactly.
We love chaos as well, mm-hmm. Scorpio in the house, but mm-hmm. balance for sure. And New York, I mean, it's amazing. It's so fast. It's so exciting. There's never a dull moment. I was on the phone with my parents on one of my last days there, and outside there was just a siren going. I didn't even notice. My dad's like, "Are you okay? What's happening?" And I was like,
"Oh my God."
He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "There's a siren." I was like, "Oh, you mean the street?" Like, that's just, I was like, I literally didn't even notice very much, because you just learn to, like, I don't know, live with all the wildness. And, like, it mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense why people think that New Yorkers aren't fazed by anything, because there's so much happening all the time that you just eventually block out some of it and go, that's not for me to worry about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I was kind of, so I went to New York because I was working, I was doing a stand-up course on Caroline's Comedy. Don't remember, I'm sure I said that in a past episode of this podcast, but an update for everybody. It's done now, so that's, I'm back in the hammer. But while I was there, I was working a little bit on a bit that is, people think Canadians are nice, but they're not. They're just polite, whereas New Yorkers are not polite, they're nice. Because in my experience, everybody in New York is there to just, like, do their thing. But if they can help someone along the way, they'll do it. Whereas in Canada, here in at least Southern Ontario, people are a little more afraid of one another and are just, like, they love niceties. But, like, if I'm rolling my heavy-ass suitcase down Yonge Street in Toronto, someone's probably not going to come along and say, "Do you need some help with that?" They'll probably, like, move over and try to not be an inconvenience to me, but they're not going to, like, lend a hand. Whereas in New mm-hmm. York, when I was struggling through the subway with my big ass suitcase on my first day there, like an idiot, every time I reached some stairs, someone helped me. Someone literally just said, "Oh, here, nice. Let me help you." It was like amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just a different spirit. Like, it's, I don't know, it's fast, and people think like New Yorkers are mean because they're like, I'm walking here, but it's like, you're just in my way, move to the side so you don't hurt yourself, you know,
because people are too damn slow.
And I also agree.
God,
as someone who's a notoriously slow walker, when I'm in New York, Cecilia can attest to this, I'm fast as fuck. And I became one of those people.
I wouldn't
people,
say fast. I would say regular speed.
Which means fast as fuck. And I, when I was in New York, people were in the way. I was just dodging them left and right, hustling mm-hmm. through. And I became one of those, like, why are you in the middle of the road, people? Mm-hmm. Which was really a weird transition for me once I caught myself doing that.
Really usually funny. She is the middle of the road.
I'm the one who's walking too slow in the middle of the road usually. Yeah, but not in New York, because there's so much to see and so much to do. You gotta go, baby. What are you doing? Why are you standing in the middle of the road? Gotta go right now. I don't know, other places it's not as important to be going. New York, it's the best. So much to do, so much to see, hooray.
What are some of the spooky places that you went to?
Some of the spooky places I went to? Mm-hmm. Oh, so many places. I lived in the Lower East Side, which is one of mm-hmm. the, which is downtown, which is oldly settled indeed.
Yeah, you can tell by the cobblestones.
You can tell by the streets that have cobblestones, mm-hmm. like a few blocks away in Little Italy in Soho. I live below where I live. Oh my God, it's past tense. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna cry. I lived. Below where the city grid started. So mm-hmm. that's how you, like, I lived below Houston. And so yeah. that's how you know that's the oldest part of the city. Because the, like, true, everyone's like, New York's a grid system. It's like, not below mm-hmm. Houston, you know, like, not downtown.
Soho.
Yeah. Soho. So I saw a lot of, yeah, things like that. When Cecilia came to visit, we saw a really uh-huh. exciting place that was near where I was living on Spring Street. If you uh-huh. remember a while back when I covered the Manhattan Well murder, which, of course, is attached to both Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton of uh-huh. Lin-Manuel Miranda's the musical Hamilton fame and no other reason why.
That's the only things they're from. The only reason that they're famous.
Yeah, exactly. Is that they're played 8 times a week on Broadway. We went to Spring Street and we saw the Manhattan Well, which is located on Spring Street in a beautifully fancy clothing store in the basement.
A very fancy clothing store. Right? With some really, like, nice stuff in it, though.
It was gorge.
I was shocked. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is too fancy for me. But then it wasn't, like, that expensive, and it was also nice.
Yeah. It wasn't, like, Louis Vuitton. But it wasn't, like, H&M. You know, it was, like, nice.
It's a COS.
Yeah.
Which I don't
know. Or COS or something. We don't know.
I don't know.
We only went there once.
I'm not fancy. I see some reviews that some of the salespeople are rude.
Oh, they didn't bother us one bit while we were there. So
did not bother us.
No, that was ideal.
We went downstairs. Yeah. And we took a picture of the well.
Yes. Like absolute freaks. But you can totally see it. It's just a well in the basement that just looks like a round brick wall because that's what it is.
Yeah. It's very strange because it is very, like, I don't know, it feels like a very, like, minimalist kind of clothing shop.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just, like, an old-ass well in the basement.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, fit in. It's not like it's, like, a, you know, it's not one of those, like, vintage stores full of, like, random tchotchkes and things where it, like, could blend in. It's, like, clean, cut, classic, basics, cashmere. And then there's this just, like, brick-ass well.
It's also not like, it's not like, oh, there's, like, an exposed brick wall or, like, any, like, old, like, baseboards or anything.
No.
It's just, like, very modern.
Yeah.
And then there's a well.
Yeah. The only part that screams, this was something before this, is the well. And everything else is very clean line, very European, very, like, modern, which is pretty cute. But it was really cool to see that. It was something that we've talked about. And we were like, it's right there. Look at this.
Yeah. We're going to walk by. Let's just go.
Might as well just go. We're right here. We were on our way home from Trader Joe's and CVS. And we were like, might as well come here on our errands. And I'm not going to lie, didn't see a ghost. But I also haven't looked back at those pictures. So Don't know some cute about
sweaters.
That.
Sweaters.
Yes.
But no ghosts.
No ghosts. No ghosts, but cool, and would definitely recommend if you're in the area.
Yeah.
And then we did a lot of stuff. We took a tour through all of Little Italy and a bunch of Soho all the way up through to Washington Square Park. And all of that is haunted as fuck.
Uh-huh. So it was a, like a gangsters and ghosts tour.
Yes.
So the first half was more about like the Irish gangs from like way back and the like Chinese gangs in Chinatown and the Italians, the mobs, of course.
Yeah.
So we talked about that for a bit and then we were around like Washington Square Park and around there and talking about ghosts.
Yeah, it was very, very cool.
Yeah.
And we also, I mean, while I was also there, I went to see a bunch of Broadway shows. You saw a Broadway show.
I did. Front row, baby.
Front row. That's so wild. And so much of Broadway is haunted. I don't know how much we've talked about on the podcast. I know we've probably touched on it, but yeah, so many things there. And just like, I mean, it's New York. There's so much of everything all the time, but it's so haunted. It's so creepy in the best way.
Did you end up going to any of the, like, the Merchant's House or, like, any of the ones that we've talked about?
Yeah, or, like, the Morris Jamel Mansion. So I didn't get to see either of those only because when they were open, I was busy. And if I had planned better, I'm sure I could have and would have. But by the time
like when I was there, from like a Sunday to a Thursday, so a lot of them were opened Thursday to Sunday.
Yes.
And I just like was missed not able it. To go.
Yeah. And that's why we missed those when you were there. And then right after you left, I had our pal at Laura Welch visited and she's not a spooky gal. She's the opposite of a spooky gal. She's like,
she's scared.
Please don't, the ghosts are scaring me. And I'm like, I understand. That's totally a regular response. That's probably healthier than my response to that. which would be more ghosts. But yeah, so I didn't really see much then, and then I was working on my stand-up, Cecilia. I just had so much to say. Yeah, but I did go to the ballet, the New York City Ballet, and to be honest, I saw some of the most beautiful, ethereal ballet dancing I've ever seen in my life and probably will ever see, and she looked like a freaking ghost because she was floating as hell.
She was just flying around.
She was like, it was like watching butter, and it was also like watching, it was like she was strong but light, and she was like she was like both of everything. Like it was like it was sharp but it was so fluid, and it was like I was like literally I was like, how am I seeing this? So it could be the
magic.
And I like can describe it only as how I think I would feel if I saw a ghost. I'm like, how am I seeing this? How are you doing this? Where did you come from? Why are you here? You know, like all of these feelings that are the exact same. But it was ballet. Honestly, oh my gosh, Cecilia, you would have loved this. One of the it was like a three pieces that we saw, and one of the pieces was written by Sufjan Stevens.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. He wrote it for the New York City Ballet. And it sounded sickening.
Yeah, okay. I think I've heard it. I haven't
obviously
went to the New York City Ballet and seen it.
Yeah, it was really cute to see them dance to it, for sure. And by cute, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle the freaking New York City Ballet. It was really cute. No, but it was cool. It was cool. I was like, oh, nice. Just an extra level of appreciation, I suppose, for the music as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, no no ghosts. I took the subway a lot, so maybe I saw you know, something weird there. I walked around a ton. And I'm sure probably me sitting in Central Park, I'm sure something weird walked by me at some point
that
I didn't know
was there. There's got to be ghosts in Central Park.
For sure. Central Park wasn't always a park. We've listened to the Bowery Boys episode on Central Park. We know all about it.
There's all kinds of things happening there.
Yeah. So many levels. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I went. Oh, I went to the top of the Empire State Building while I was there, which is something I've never done before, even though I've been to New York so many times. Mm-hmm. And that was really interesting, but also made me go, people have died here, which was also interesting. And made me go, ghosts? But alas, no ghosts as far as I saw or recall.
As far as you know.
As far as I know.
Who knows? Maybe one walked past you.
I mean, you never know. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But I did feel like I lived my Meg Ryan fantasy, which I was really grateful for. Pick any of her movies. They're all set in fall in New York. And I was in all of them. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very spooky. Highly recommend. It was my first time being in New York in the fall. And, like, honestly, there's nothing like it. Like, I thought I knew New York before, and I did, but now I'm like, girl, I get you. Okay. I know what you're really about.
And she's... You feel seen.
I feel seen. She feels seen. I felt hugged. Yeah, she felt seen. I felt seen. We saw each other. We, like, high-fived. Yeah. And then we got ourselves, you know, an iced coffee and sat on a bench in Central Park and watched the leaves fall down.
Yeah.
It was super awesome. But, yeah. So definitely would recommend. I also wanted to, there's another place I didn't get to is Trinity Church, which I would have liked to have gotten to, but I've seen it before. I just didn't make it out there this trip, but maybe in the future. I mean, New York's not going anywhere. Maybe. So. Yeah. Those are the ghost updates from New York.
Yeah, so we went on this ghost tour, so we're going to talk to you about a couple places that we hit on our ghost tour.
Mm-hmm.
Are we? Because you're talking about a place from the ghost tour as well.
I'm talking about something else I failed to mention on purpose that we did while we were in New York.
So yeah, I'm going to be talking about a place that we found out about from our ghost tour that I didn't really know about.
Yeah. That was cool.
And you, I think you're going to go first.
I think I am going first. I hinted at it a little earlier by dropping $20 cocktails.
Yes. Only because I wanted to get us in the
mood for what is going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one of the rare instances where Cecilia and I both know what the other is doing for sure. And not like a vague recollection, because we wanted to tell stories from places we went to together.
Yes.
On this most recent trip, which we've done before in the past, but because it's been a pandemic for so long, we haven't really gotten to go to a ton of spooky places in person.
Yeah.
Done our own kind of feel outs? Investigations would be a better word, I guess. We're not really like ghost hunters either, you know? Like,
no, we're
we don't
not.
Have equipment. We're not really, you know, we're ghost scientists, as we've called ourselves.
We're ghost connoisseurs.
We're not ghost hunters. Though we've hunted ghosts, where it's just not in our wheelhouse as much as just talking about ghosts and appreciating ghosts is.
We just like to chat. We don't want to, we want to leave them alone. We want to let them do their own thing. If they want to come to us, they can come to us.
100%. And like,
it feels like I'm working too hard if I'm hunting for them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm playing hard to get with the ghosts.
And maybe that's why we've had very little luck, you know, seeing or communicating. But that's just us, baby. We're just hard to get. So,
yeah.
Can't help you. Would love to help you. Help us help you. This is our message to the ghosts of the world.
Help you. Just help us by just coming to see us. Ghosts, because we're not, say seeking you out.
Yeah, we're not, like, going to go hard to find you, because
the most we're seeking them out is to just go to a place that's haunted and chill.
Yeah.
Which we did.
And hope for the best.
Us about.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to tell you right now. So, if I were to ask you to name 10 New York City landmarks, you, anybody, listeners, Cecilia, I bet that Grand Central Station would make all of your lists. It's one of the big ones, you know? I mean, New York has all the big ones, but this is one of the majorino ones.
It's the grandest centralist station.
Exactly. It's grand, it's central, it's station. It's all of it.
Mm-hmm. It's all of them.
So, located in Midtown Manhattan at 42nd Street and Park Avenue, it is the second busiest train station in North America, ranking only second to New York Penn Station, which is not too far away. Opened in 1913, the station was built in the Beaux-Arts style. The building holds many secret and special features, such as the whispering gallery on the lower level, where one person standing in one corner of the arch can hear another person speaking softly diagonally from them. It's like one of those architectural things.
We didn't do that.
I know we didn't do that. Are you sad we didn't do that?
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I didn't think of it while we were there.
You didn't think of it. You didn't think to whisper to me.
No, I'm sorry. I couldn't whisper ghostly nothings into your ear. Wow. I'm so sorry.
Disappointing.
Well, I guess we'll have to go back. What the heck? Mm-hmm. Booking it right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And while the station has through the years housed a movie theater, a tennis club, and even a CBS television studio, for me, Carly Billings, its most exciting hidden treasure is the Campbell apartment. Mm. Oh, so today the Campbell is a gorgeous bar and cocktail lounge located in Grand Central in the space that was once the office of John W. Campbell, an American financier and member of the New York Central Railroad's board of directors. Mm. He rented the space, which is 3,500 square feet. And in 1923, had architect Augustus N. Allen transform the space into a 13th century Florentine style office, complete with 25 feet hand-painted plaster ceilings and gorgeous leaded windows. Mm-hmm. He then acquired 19th century Italian chairs and tables and displayed an art collection worth $1 million in his day, which is more like $15 million today.
That's so many monies.
That's so many for monies art. For just art in one room.
That's it's not a museum. It's not that big a room.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've been.
It's a big room. Yeah. But it's not like $15 million of art worth.
No, it's very tall, tall, tall. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of skinny. Like, I think it's like 60 feet across or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's skinny long. It's like a rectangle.
Yeah.
And very tall. But like,
it's a great big rectangle.
It's a hugest rectangle, but like, yeah, $15 million worth of art just hanging out on top of everything else, you know?
As art does.
As art does. Hanging. Also had apparently, Cecilia, in those days, a Persian carpet that covered the entire floor of the big rectangular room from wall to wall. Which,
see, that fucking carpet was probably worth $15 million.
Apparently it was worth $300,000 in that day.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. Carpet alone. Carpet alone. Mm-hmm. Like, huge carpet. Like, unimaginably big carpet.
Carpets are expensive.
Carpets are so expensive. Yeah. Ah! It's upsetting. And that would be an antique-ass carpet.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You can't just go to IKEA and get a carpet those days. You gotta especially if you're a fancy guy.
Of course. You gotta call Persia directly.
Yeah.
You say, Persia, get me on the horn to Persia.
Hello, Jake Gyllenhaal, Prince of Persia.
Hello, Jake Gyllenhaal, Prince of Persia. Give me your finest carpet. Mm-hmm. And he would say, all right. And then that's how you get a carpet. You'd
send it your way.
That's correct. On a boat.
That's what worked.
On a boat. Mm-hmm. No plane.
Boat.
No plane big enough for a carpet of this size. Mm-mm. No. And not only did he have that big-ass carpet, but on that big-ass carpet, he had a piano and a pipe organ, Cecilia.
Okay.
Because he was a fancy man. And at night, he would turn his office, which, again, this was an office, from business to party. And he'd host receptions and have entertainment for about 50 to 60 friends. Him and his wife, who would then come and hear famous musicians of the day play private shows.
Wow.
It's like a whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, after JW's death in the 50s, the space was converted into a few different things. It was converted into simpler offices, a studio by CBS at one point, and was even used as a police officer supply area, and also a tiny jail by Metro North Railroad. And apparently the little jail was located where the bar is at today. So so that space just under the windows, I guess, was where they housed people.
The train jail.
Yeah, the Metro North Railroad jail.
If you're up to no good on the train.
Yeah, if you're
train jail.
If you're a scallywag on the train, they said, geet. Yeah, it was like, what, the 50s or just after? Yeah, so, yeah, if you're like a beatnik or something. They're like, you can't smoke pot on the train. Go to jail. Yeah. So then they would do that. Yeah. And so then it fell, of course, like everything, into disrepair. Mm-hmm. So from, but then from 1999 to 2007, the space went through a huge restoration and it was restored to its original opulence, which cost about $2 million, which was very worthwhile, in my opinion, because now it can be enjoyed again today. Mm-hmm. So if you go, like Cecilia and I did, you can see the original windows, a curio cabinet that was once used as a gun cabinet. And even in the fireplace, you can see John W. Campbell's original safe that was once hidden behind a wall, a clear reminder of the wealth that once flowed through this space. And I mean, yes. I'd argue continues to flow through this space.
Yeah, you know? Like it.
But that doesn't seem to be all that remains of opulence past, because the Campbell, and the reason we went there, besides the fact that it's really freaking cool, which is also already a sell in and of itself, but New York's full of cool places. But the biggest sell for us is apparently the Campbell is super haunted.
Wow.
What? I know, a shock.
Shocking.
So employees have reported feeling pushed from behind as they cross the floor, only for there to be no one behind them when they turn around.
Spooky.
And often cold air and cold spots appear out of nowhere. Apparently, some staff members have been so spooked that they simply refuse to close the place alone at night. They just they just don't. They have to close in teams. And I mean, who knows what spirits could be lurking in the space's original millwork? Because, like, it has a lot of original elements. That have been recovered. It has a lot of just old stuff, and a lot went on there. And while it seems folks feel very strongly that the Campbell's haunted, they've all made it pretty clear that whatever is going on is not negative or malevolent. Like, it's not one of those, like, glasses thrown, stuff knocked over. It's not violent in any way. They've made that very clear. However, there are two areas that seem to be the most haunted of all the areas in the Campbell apartment, and they are the mezzanine and the upstairs bathroom.
Okay.
Now, before I talk about what or who haunts the mezzanine and bathroom, so you remember the mezzanine when we were sitting down below beside the fireplace, and we saw the safe.
It wasn't open while we were there. No. The mezzanine is like up above. And it's probably for, like, events or when it gets super busy.
Yes.
We were there on, like, a Sunday evening.
Midday, almost evening.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't even evening.
I think it was, like, three or four we were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, like, 4:30 or something.
Yeah.
So it wasn't super busy. Not everything was open. So I don't know if they, like, open up the mezzanine for, like, when it's busy or for events or something. But it's cool, like, you can see up into it.
It like looks spooky though, right? Like, it is a bit like imposing and grand.
It's like mysterious.
It's totally mysterious. I remember us looking at it and be like, look at that, that's cool.
And we did see the safe because we were we were sitting kind of by the fireplace.
I think you noticed it. You were like, there's a safe in there, and I was like, oh my god,
because we were sitting like in the back corner and we were right beside the fireplace.
Yeah, there was, like, one table beside us that was, like, directly in front of the fireplace. And we were, like, just to the side of that.
And it's one of those, like, pretty big fireplaces, too.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Like, everything everything in this, it all sounds, like, you say the word apartment and you picture small. It's huge. It's 25-foot like, ceilings.
Yeah, which, like, there's able to be a mezzanine. And, like, huge, really tall ceilings in the main area.
Yeah.
And big windows and a bar.
Big windows, huge bar, giant cabinets, like, literal trees. Like, there's palm trees.
Yeah, there are palm trees.
Like, inside. Yeah, so huge, huge space. But in this huge space, there's this mezzanine that when you first walk in, you walk under and then into the big room. You don't really notice it till you're on the other side. And in that mezzanine is where they have noticed a lot of activity. Specifically, an older couple who are dressed in 1920s clothing have been spotted enjoying cocktails. Just sitting in the mezzanine.
They're like, oh, the prices of these has really gone up.
They're like, back in my day, see, we could buy a cocktail for a quarter.
The cocktails are only 20 cents, not $20.
$20? Who's got $20? Worth more than my house.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. And not only is the actual mezzanine pretty haunted, apparently sometimes on the stairs up to the area, servers have felt also a hand resting on their backs.
Ew.
Which is so gross in life, and it is so gross in death. It would be.
Yeah.
Just a stranger's hand.
Yeah, if I'm not expecting it, like, if it's not somebody that I know,
and,
like, I'm okay with them touching me.
Exactly.
And then if there's no one there.
No one there! It's like when you walk through a room and, like, or you're standing, actually, you're in a crowd, and a man is walking through the room. And he's always just touching the small of women's backs.
Ew, yeah.
You know? It's giving that. It's giving...
It's that, but a ghost.
But ghost, which is doubly scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's a difference between, like, your friend walking past you and, like, that's fine and good. But, like, a stranger doing that, and you're like, this is too familiar. Yuck.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a ghost, and also no one's there, so maybe it didn't even happen to you. Mm-hmm. And it's too much. Yeah. Too much for me. I read that, and I was like, ah! Truly.
Yeah, no thank you.
No thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely not. And the other place, the maybe spookiest incident that has been reported at the Campbell is this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened in the upstairs bathroom.
No.
So
there's always spooky shit in bathrooms.
Bathrooms, man. Like, what's the deal? Is it because there's, like, lots of mirrors? Is it because there's, like, water? Like, I don't.
Because
bathrooms are gross and ghosts love to be gross. Like, I don't know.
Ghosts love to be gross. Maybe it's the water. I don't know. I don't know. The spirits in.
Maybe. I mean, they say water has memory. Like, that's a teaching. That's a thing. Like, yeah. Oh, I don't know. But it's the upstairs bathroom specifically is home to a very compelling incident. And it goes like this. A customer witnessed a woman enter and lock the door, but she did not emerge. So a line forms, but no one can get in. You know, people are just waiting for the bathroom. It takes so long that eventually a locksmith is called, and they confirm that while they find no one inside, the door had been locked from the inside. So there's no explanation as to how a door would be locked from the inside if there's nobody inside.
Is it like a legit door, or is it one of the ones you can, like, crawl under? Is it like a stall door? You can, like, lock it and crawl underneath?
Lock, crawl under, and I mean, I don't think it's some elementary school shenanigans. I think it's like an actual...
It's a fancy place, so maybe it has full-length doors
too. Yeah, I think it's like a, you know how you have bathrooms that are like those weird stalls where they're all lined up? My thought is that this is like a single bathroom.
So
I didn't go
to the washrooms upstairs. Wasn't the upstairs one.
You went downstairs?
Like on the it was on the floor where the, like, actual apartment is, like, it wasn't up near the mezzanine.
What was it
and
like?
It was just a single stall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Then maybe
so I don't know if it's
the same. Maybe the mezzanine.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I was gonna ask you that because I remember that you went to the washroom and I wanted to know if you had gone upstairs or down. It would make sense that you had gone down because we were downstairs. But
yeah, it was just a single, like, one of those, like, accessible washroom kind of things.
Yeah, I have a feeling that the upstairs one is similar. That's kind of the vibe I got from my research. Of course, we didn't check it out because the upstairs wasn't open. But yeah. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So then riddle me that if it's a real door, you know?
Yeah.
Bit of weirdness for sure. And I got a lot of my information today from Wikipedia, townandcountrymag.com, newyork.eater.com, and thecampbellnyc.com. And so the Campbell, like, doesn't shy away from their, like, little bit of spooky history. They don't, like, lean in. They're not like, everyone come see the ghosts. But no. I think they do have a Halloween event coming up, actually.
Oh, that's cute.
This coming weekend, if you're in New York, check it out. Where it's, like, I think it's, like, 1920s themed, like, ghosts and ghouls or something. Yeah.
That's cute.
It's pretty cute. Yeah. I saw that pop up on their website and I went, oh, mm-hmm. I would like to go to there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were fancy ladies there. Carly got Manhattan.
Oh, my God. I had to choke down this Manhattan. And it's not because they made it poorly. It's because they made it too good. I'm sure of it.
It's because Manhattans are bad.
It's because Manhattans just taste like an old man and not in a good way. Not like how gin tastes like an old man. Gin is like an old man with a sweater. A Manhattan is like what Mr. Big drinks. And you're like...
I'm
not a Wall Street man, you know? It's the opposite of the table of Wall Street bros that sat next to us. Like,
so, those second guys. Carly got a Manhattan because she felt like she had to.
Because we were in Manhattan.
I got a nice, like, smoky mezcal.
Yeah, okay, miss. I made a good choice in what I ordered.
I actually made a good choice, and I got a good drink. So they can make good drinks.
Yeah, they make great drinks. That's what I'm saying. I think they made it so good that I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Me really realizing I do not like Manhattans.
Yeah.
Because they made it perfectly good instead of, like, mostly water, you know?
Yeah.
But that's on me.
It was not a watered down Manhattan.
It was like punch you in the mouth, kick you in the teeth, mm-hmm. pick up your wooden golf club Manhattan. Like, that's what it was. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, this is not who I am as a person.
It was the drink to be drank in the Campbell apartment.
It was very appropriate for the setting, which is why I chose it. Yeah. I'm more of a, like, literally... Me as a person, I'm just a glass of champagne. So, like, champagne should not drink a Manhattan, you know? It's not. No. It doesn't go.
Champagne should drink champagne.
Correct. But I fudged that. That's on me for sure. But I did feel my, like, my Mr. Big fantasy in that I was a rich man. I was.
Yes.
I was share. Mama, I am a rich man. Like, that's what I was.
Exactly.
Living.
We lived our rich Wall Street fantasy.
Yeah, we were financiers in that moment. We embodied John W. Campbell, and we said, we are some rich men, railroad tycoons, which really, if you think about it, would make a lot of sense for us that we could have been rich railroad tycoons in a past life because we love trains so much.
I do love trains. I don't think I would have been a rich railway tycoon, though. I would have been, like...
A railroad worker?
Like a street rat who, like, jumped on the train to get from place to place.
Oh, like a fun transient?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I want to be, like, fucking Rockefeller. Like, in a past life, maybe that was me.
Okay. Well, Carly's dreaming big. I am being realistic, and I would have been, like, a... like a hooligan who is going from place to place riding the rails.
I mean, Lord knows, I probably wasn't jumping out of trains, but
Carly's not about to jump.
I'm not about to jump out of a train. Are you kidding? I'm gonna die.
No,
was. Maybe I joined the circus. That could be why I love the trains so much. I could be. Maybe I was like a bearded lady or something.
Maybe
that's a good vibe.
Yeah,
I'm Italian enough. I could grow one. If I work hard enough.
If you just try hard enough.
I just try really hard, I could do it.
I think. You could grow a beard.
Yeah.
So that was our little fancy adventure.
Yes.
Our fancy spooky adventure. It was a great place. We got some pretzel bites.
Oh my God. You know what?
They're really good.
I am haunted by something from the Campbell, and it's those pretzel bites.
Those pretzel bites were so good.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So how did they do it?
If you go to the Campbell,
you have to get the pretzel bites.
Where I used to work, we had pretzel bites, and they were not good.
Well, a lot of times they're not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones where I worked were bad.
No, you can never have high hopes for pretzel bites, but if you go to the Campbell and order pretzel bites, you need to raise your bar because they are amazing.
They're delicious.
They're so good. Upsettingly good. Truly haunted by pretzel bites, how good they were. I'm like, damn.
You were shook to your core.
I really was. If I have to, like, list, like, five of the best things I ate in New York, honestly, you probably would make the list. Like, they were so dreamy.
Okay, so I said that the place that I'm talking about, we didn't actually go inside.
No.
But we ventured by it on our ghost walk. It's the House of Death.
Yeah, we did.
Which was not a place that I had ever heard about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. So it's in Greenwich Village. It's like a short walk from Washington Square Park. It's at 14 West 10th Street.
Yes.
It's like a big old brownstone. It looks like all the other houses on the street, kind of.
Yeah, totally innocuous.
Big, cool brownstone. It was built in 1856, right after the Civil War.
Oh.
It was originally, way back when, a single-family home, so it would have been like a big old house for rich people.
Yes.
But it's now been split into 10 apartments.
10?
Which I was surprised by.
I thought it was like maybe 6 units.
Yeah, but apparently it's 10, so it must be pretty long.
It
as
must
well.
Go back much further than it seems.
It's 4 stories.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming a basement probably.
Yeah.
So I guess like each of them are split into 2 or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess that would make sense. Yeah, if it's two per floor.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's 10 apartments. I'm assuming they're, like, so expensive to rent.
Yeah.
Because of the neighborhood.
Yeah, damn. I mean, it's probably also rented by rich people and students, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Because, yeah,
like, a lot of housing around Washington Square Park is all students, right?
Mm-hmm. So some rich students.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a bunch of ghosts.
What do you mean, ghosts?
What? A haunted house? The house of death?
A house of death has ghosts within?
So I feel like this always happens when I go on a ghost walk or a ghost tour, that the story that I found online was like a little bit different from what
right,
they tell us.
That you hear, yeah.
So you'll hear that there's like a little bit of a different story.
Interesting.
Some sources say that 22 people have died there. Some have said like, that many people have been murdered there.
Oh!
Some, I don't know. There's been a bunch of death, then that's why it's called the House of Death. The
House of Death, yeah.
So it was home to many wealthy New Yorkers throughout the 19th century. It seemed pretty, like, regular, maybe thought to be a little unlucky or haunted during that time. Not for any specific reasons until a little bit later. So its most famous inhabitant moved in almost 50 years into it being around, and that was Mark Twain.
Yeah, Marky Mark.
So if you walk by, you'll see there's a plaque, like an old plaque that you can see down at like the front of the building that says Mark Twain lived here.
It's like one of the big things, yeah.
Yeah. So he only lived there for about a year. And at the time he moved in, the building already had a bit of reputation for having bad luck or being haunted, like I said. Before he moved in, a famous cyclist lived there named Fred H. Andrew. He didn't die here, I don't think, but he was arrested after what the New York Times described as a reckless bicycle riding.
Oh, dang.
Incident. That he hit a young boy who ended up breaking his leg, so.
Oh my god.
That was the first little spot of bad luck. I don't know, it doesn't seem that bad. He was a cyclist and he hit someone, like, sure.
Sure,
maybe there were
right.
other deaths of, like, old people before that. I'm not finding any information about it.
Yeah, okay.
So Mark Twain moved in 3 years after this incident in 1900. At the time, he was bankrupt, and he was battling depression. His young daughter had just died, and his wife and his other daughter were both really sick.
Wow.
So he moved into this house, and he was a ghost skeptic. He did not believe in ghosts
right.
at all.
I mean, that makes sense for Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of a general... Isn't he, like, a general skeptic of a person? Like, he's just kind of like...
I guess... I mean, he was like a satire.
Yeah.
Satirist? How do you say that?
A satirist. Yeah, he wrote satire. Yeah.
So you wrote a lot of satire.
That's what I mean. He's like, he's just kind of like
Yeah. So he didn't believe in ghosts, but he wrote about an incident in the house that a lot of people think is paranormal, although he did not. So.
Yes.
One Iconic. Evening, he had maybe had a couple of Manhattans.
Oh,
and
me and Mark Twain have that in common.
Yeah. So he was sitting by the fire and he noticed that a piece of wood from the fire was being lifted up into the air. Yeah. But he couldn't see what was lifting it up. So he, of course, did what any good American would do, and he grabbed his gun and he shot at the wood.
Yeah. America!
You just gotta grab a fucking gun and yeah. shoot at it. You don't
when
know
you
what
don't
it is.
Know what's moving your wood, you shoot it. Yeah. America!
When there's something wrong in the neighborhood, what
you don't need
do?
To call anyone, you just shoot it.
You don't
it.
Have to call anyone, you just shoot
America.
It. America. So he did, he shot it and the wood fell to the ground and there was like a bunch of blood that came out of the wood, out of the bullet hole.
Wild.
So his explanation was not anything paranormal. He wasn't like, oh my God, there was a ghost. I shot it and it bled. This is so spooky. He was like, there was a rat.
Yeah.
The rat was trying to steal my wood, which like, why
my
would a rat
flaming
be trying to steal your
wood?
Right? Why?
Why would a rat need that?
So, of course, thinking there was a rat, he shot it. And that's where he said that the blood was coming from. He sure. didn't actually find a rat. And the house had never really had rats in the past. But, I mean, it's New York, maybe.
Right. He
There's
said,
lots of rats.
It's New York. The only explanation is rats.
It's a rat. It was a rat. So that's what he thought.
Great.
So, like I said, he only lived in the house for about a year, and he didn't die there. He died almost 10 years later in Danbury, Connecticut. But he is said to be one of the spirits that haunt the House of Death.
Whoa. I almost said, in response to Connecticut, I almost said, as everyone does.
As everyone does. We all...
But I held it back because I was like, why am I coming for Connecticut so hard?
We all just go to Connecticut to die.
To die. Isn't mm-hmm. that what... Connecticut feels to me like the New Brunswick of the States. Is that like a correct feeling to you?
I feel like it's more wealthy.
Yeah, Connecticut. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I... Like, then what do you think is the American New Brunswick? Iowa?
Iowa? I don't know.
I don't know.
But it should be more
I'll
coastal.
Think on it.
Rhode Island?
Yeah, it should be more coastal. Maybe Rhode Island. But I feel like I like Rhode Island more than
Wow, Carly coming okay. for maybe Maine.
Oh, Maine is very like Nova Scotia to me, though. Mm. Like, they're kind of the same thing. They're mm-hmm. kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're so close together. I don't know. We'll workshop this. Connecticut.
Well, Connecticut is where
Connecticut is where
die.
People go to die. Okay.
It's where Mark Twain went to die.
Right. Exactly. Great.
So he did not die in the House of Death, although the name would assume
would,
that everyone died there.
Yeah, you'd think that he would have, but he didn't. Surprise.
He didn't. But he has been sighted. People have reported seeing a man with a big old mustache and in a white suit.
That's Mark Twain energy or Colonel Sanders, either one.
Or Colonel Sanders. It could also be Colonel Sanders.
Could also be. I mean, has anyone proposed that yet?
No
the only
one
other
has,
man in a white suit with a mustache that I know.
No one can confirm or deny whether or not it's actually Colonel Sanders.
What if Mark Twain was Colonel Sanders? Just put
I
it
don't know.
There.
Do the dates line up?
I don't know. When was Colonel Sanders?
I think Colonel Sanders was probably after Mark Twain. They might have overlapped a little bit, but Mark Twain died in 1910.
When was Colonel Sanders?
When was Colonel Sanders?
Oh, here we go. No, well, Colonel Sanders was born in 1890, and he died in 1980.
Yeah, not really.
But what if the original Colonel Sanders was Mark Twain, and Colonel Sanders just went, I'll do that, and then
did it. Well, it could be like a James Bond thing, or like a Doctor Who thing, where there's like a new one.
Or a Santa Claus thing. Yeah.
Like we saw in The Santa Claus.
Yeah, when you kill one, you become him.
Yeah, you become another one. So Colonel Sanders was just like regular, and then he killed Mark Twain in 1910.
In Connecticut!
He became,
of all
in
places!
Connecticut. I don't know why he was there. I guess to expand his chicken career.
Yeah, he said, I must have your look. Here I go.
And he took it. Dang. He was just a young 20-year-old, but he turned into a mustachioed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're putting the pieces together.
Confirmed. Okay,
confirmed.
So if you go to the House of Death, if you're in the stairwell, you can spot either Mark Twain or Colonel Sanders. We're not sure which one. he's also been spotted on the first floor, and people also hear sounds of like marching from vacant apartments, so they think maybe that's him.
That's creepy.
Marching? But since there's so many ghosts, who knows? It could be someone else.
That's true.
So a notable sighting happened in the 1930s. So the way that our ghost tour person told us the story, it was just a young girl that that reported this.
Right.
A lot of sources say that it was a young girl and also her mother that saw this ghost.
Oh, interesting.
So the more interesting version that he told us was that this little girl, she saw a man in the house and she like told everybody that there was a man in the house and they like looked all around and they couldn't see him. Mm-hmm. And the police came and they didn't find anything. And then they were talking to her and she said he said that his name was Clemens.
Yeah.
And Mark Twain, his real name was Samuel Clemens. Mm-hmm. So people think that she saw the ghost
of Mark Samuel Twain.
Clemens because how was she to know that that was his name?
Right? So weird.
The other version was just that the mother and daughter saw a man in their room looking out the window and they asked who he was and what he was doing there. And he said, my name is Clemens and I has a problem here. I gotta settle.
Oh, he has a problem here. He's gotta settle.
I has a problem here.
He's got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Is the problem that he is not alive? Is that
the problem? The problem is that he is dead and he thinks that there was rats.
Right. Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yikes.
Either way, they saw this ghost. So then, a little bit later in 1957, an actress, poet, and author named Jan Bartel. She's like an off-Broadway actress. She's a writer. She's a little bit kooky.
Yeah.
She moves into the house.
Why are you just describing me right now? I'm a little upset, honestly. But
yeah, okay, so she's basically Carly, and this is what happens when she moves into the haunted house. So all this was, by this time, it had been converted into apartments. And she moved into one of the top floor apartments that had once been the servants' quarters.
Right.
And she moved there with her restaurateur husband. So he wasn't around a lot. He was really busy.
Right.
Jan, like I said, she's a little kooky.
She's kooky-ooky.
A little bit. She thought she was a little psychic, maybe a little bit of a medium. Sure. Pretty much immediately after moving to the house, she felt that there was something odd going on.
Okay.
It had this haunted reputation already, so she really felt that. A few weeks after moving in, she felt what she described as a monstrous moving shadow that loomed up behind her.
Oh, no.
And she could, like, feel this behind her, and she would sometimes feel this kind of just, like, following her around.
Right.
But when she turned around to see what it was, there was nothing there, and she was, like, super shaken up.
Dang.
Other occurrences would happen around the house. She would hear the sound of footsteps following her up the stairs. Which is really creepy.
Ew!
No, thank you.
Ew!
She would feel the brush of something against the back of her neck, even if she, like, had her hair up and there wasn't anything behind her. She would just feel, like, something brush up against her neck.
One even little bit. I don't like that.
Her and her husband would often smell a strange rotting smell. They, like, couldn't figure out where it was coming from. Like, they didn't have anything rotting in the apartment anywhere, and it would kind of just like come and they'd get a whiff of it and then it would go away.
Ew.
And they'd also smell like really old antique perfume and just get like, again, like a whiff of it.
Dang. I mean, that's kind of cool. That last one's not bad. Like, that's kind of like,
I feel like it is creepy though, because you get like a whiff and you're like, what was that? I need to figure out what that was. And then you just can't find it.
Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to me before.
You get, like, a whiff of something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you're like, what the hell? What
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Ghosts. Well, this is going to be weird, but right after, when I was in grade 6 and my Nono died, that happened to me. Mm-hmm. It smelled like his cologne. I was like, hello?
Yeah.
I was by myself just in this standing on the stairs at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hello?
You're like, huh? What? Where? Yeah.
And then nothing. And then I was like, I imagine that, because I'm in grade 6.
Mm-hmm.
interesting.
Maybe. Maybe it was here. No, no.
Maybe. That's pretty weird. That's kind of nice, too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just coming to say hi.
He's just like,
give you a little whiff.
Yep. Give me, here, let me pass a whiff along.
Here, have a whiff.
Take a whiff. Bye-bye now.
A whiff for the road.
Take a whiff for the road. Why don't ya?
So she would, yeah, smell perfume. She would see, like, shadows, really dark shadows that shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Her dog would bark at empty spaces, bark at empty chairs, classic. Be, like, really angry at nothing. She would enter a room to find that the furniture had been moved around.
Oh, no. That's very dramatic.
They would hear breaking glass and then, like, try to look around for what had happened and wouldn't be able to find anything.
Wow.
There's a story. She like, left a room and came back and, like, had left a used dinner plate in the kitchen. And she came back and there was a shriveled up old grape in the middle of the dinner table, in the middle of the dinner plate, even though they hadn't bought grapes in months.
Maybe that's why, because it was a month's old grape. It was
so old. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know, maybe her husband was just being, like, passive aggressive or something and being like, bitch, throw away these grapes.
We haven't bought grapes in months.
Like, yeah, that's why it's so shriveled up.
Yeah, that's why it's old as fuck. Maybe someone, like, moved a chair and found it underneath and just put it on the plate and then walked away, forgot about
it. Maybe the cat found it and, like, dropped it onto the plate. Like, look what I found. Are you proud of me?
Aren't you so proud of me? Don't you love it?
Mm-hmm.
I know you like to eat these 2 months ago.
So that one's silly.
That's really silly. I like it a lot.
One thing she wrote, she saw the shape of a man and she was like, what the fuck?
Ew.
So she reached out to touch it. And to quote her, she felt, a substance without substance, chilly, damp, diaphanous as marsh mist or a cloud of ether. I could feel my fingers freeze at the tips. They were numb, and yet they tingled. In the split second between contact and recoil, the scent came, fragile and languorous, and sweet, unbearably, cloyingly sweet.
Okay, first off, you can't just reach out and touch a man just because he's standing in your home.
Well, it was like a shape of a man. She could tell it wasn't really a man. She's like, ew, what the fuck is this? I gotta touch it.
Why would that be your first instinct? That would not be because my first instinct.
She's a medium.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a spooky lady, but I'm not about to go reach out and touch a random man.
I said spooky lady.
Oh, well, maybe that's the difference. We are spooky ladies, and she is kooky lady.
She's kooky.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
So, as things began to escalate, she called in some backup. She called our old friend, psychic expert and ghost hunter, Hans Holzer.
Yeah, the big names, the big guns.
Yes, she called in the big guns. So he'd come up before. He apparently wrote over 140 books on the paranormal, which is so many books.
So many books. How do you have the time? There's, like, the one specific one that everyone reads.
Well, he was one of the people who investigated the Amityville Horror House.
Yeah.
So he wrote books on the Amityville Horror, which we have talked about, and it's been pretty debunked.
Amityville,
so
yeah.
Maybe we can take all of this with a little bit of grain of salt, because it is another Hans Holzer teaming up with someone to tell them that their house is haunted. Yeah. So he came over, he told Jan and her husband that there were bodies buried in the floorboards. Ew. I don't know if it's literal bodies or figuratively. They never actually found them. But he said that the spirits of a young girl, an aborted baby, and a small gray cat, that those had been buried in the floorboards of this apartment.
That's very dramatic. Also, sorry, the book I was thinking about, the Hans Holzer book, is called Ghost Hunter. It's that one is the one.
Because he's a ghost hunter.
Because he's a ghost hunter.
Unlike us.
Yeah. I mean, I have this book, and I've been meaning to read it for a long time. So maybe after I read it, we will be it. But
Maybe, maybe. I don't know. I don't really trust Hans Holzer. He's a little bit of a hack, I think.
He's kooky, Cecilia.
He's a kooky guy.
Kooky guy.
Yeah.
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 Kooky guy. Kooky guy.
Yeah. So he, this is what he told them. So there's these child, a baby, and a cat.
Right.
And he said that, I guess he came with a medium, and the medium was inhabited. What is that called when you get, like, possessed?
They, possessed. Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily possessed, but she spoke for the spirit.
Sure. Well, she, like, maybe the, she channeled the spirit.
She channeled it. Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay. So she was channeling the spirit of a 19-year-old named Rini, who said that she had been born in 1848, she was really mad at President Lincoln because her husband had been killed in the Civil War.
Oh, my God.
She said that he killed him.
She said, Lincoln killed my husband. Yeah.
So she also
by wanting to free the slaves.
Exactly. So she.
I mean, that's not the whole. It's not what Lincoln did.
We're not gonna get into that.
No, we're not gonna get it. That's, we don't have time for that today.
We don't have time for that. So she said that she's 19-year-old. I'm assuming that she was like a servant in the house or something. And she cried about the aborted baby that was buried in the floorboards. So maybe I don't know the. All of the bodies in the floorboards were, like, her children and her cat or something.
Yeah.
It's unclear.
Weird. What
they were trying to say. So Holzer told the spirits to leave, and that the Bartels were the rightful occupants now. But the medium, like, shouted back at them, channeling this woman, and said that she would not leave, and then this was her home, and she wasn't going anywhere.
Damn. She said, uh-uh. Mm.
She said, no, thank you. I
Did
live
Hans
here.
Did Hans Holzer say for a fee we can really tell her to fuck off, though?
Yeah. That would be funny. So a lot of this is from a New York Post story.
Okay.
Which I am kind of believing their version of things a little bit more than our ghost tour guy, because it might have been a little bit more sensationalized.
Sure.
So according to the story and everything else I was finding on the internet, they just, like, moved out shortly after they were spooked. They moved to New Rochelle, New York. Our tour guide gave us a spookier version that they, like, just refused to leave.
Right.
And that people just kept dying in the year after they... Remember?
I do remember, yeah.
So he said that 10 people died in the year following.
Yeah, he said 10 people, which is like almost one a month. And I remember saying, oh my God, that's almost one a month.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
This is the legend that has come out of this, that
sure.
She, after this investigation, after being told to leave, 10 people died, and then she finally moved out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then kind of like, it kind of stopped. So whatever it was, they moved out. They were like, no, fuck this.
Uh-huh.
So they left the apartment on 10th Street, and Jan eventually wrote a memoir about her time in the haunted house called Spindrift, Spray from a Psychic Sea.
Not to be confused with the drink.
Dramatic also.
It's very dramatic.
It's literally just about a haunted house, and she's like, spray from a psychic sea.
Because she's dramatic. I understand.
She is a dramatic lady.
I understand what it's like to walk through the world as a dramatic lady.
Exactly.
Okay?
She is such a dramatic lady. So she wrote this book in 1974, and she died shortly after the book was written, before it was published.
Wow.
And she was only 51. So
yeah, which is not young.
Yeah, so the death was kind of mysterious. Some say that she was another victim of the House of Death, and that writing this novel and putting it out in the world, they were so mad at her, that the stress of the hauntings either caused her to kill herself or die of a heart attack because of all of the spooky things that had happened to her, all of the spirits getting back at her. Maybe,
baby.
Yeah. So the other thing that happened that makes this the House of Death was a tragedy that happened in the 1980s. Okay. So that was when a family moved into a second floor apartment in the building. So it was Joel Steinberg, who was a lawyer, his girlfriend, Hedda Nussbaum.
Okay, Hedda Nussbaum.
They moved in with their two adopted children, 6-year-old Lisa and 18-month-old Mitchell.
Okay.
So this story is pretty grisly and not pleasant, and I don't really want to get too true crimey about it and get Fair. Into the details that much, because it kind of is just a story of an abusive asshole, I think.
Yike.
Which
we don't really live for that, obviously.
We don't really live for that. I don't really want to get too much into it. But Steinberg had been reported by neighbors in the past on suspicions of abuse. So I feel like some versions of the story are like, they were the perfect family, and then the ghosts got to them, and he snapped.
Not that.
Like, I don't know. He was an asshole lawyer. Their adopted children, apparently, after all of this happened, it was found that neither of them had been legally adopted. So that's a little sketchy.
And he's a lawyer.
So the 6-year-old, that she had been put into his care for him to, like, find someone to take her in, for him to be like,
okay,
I guess it was from a case, and he just ended up taking her in himself but not legally adopting her.
Weird.
So that's weird. But basically, in 1987, this guy who had a history of abuse, likely, he did a bunch of drugs, and he beat his girlfriend and this 6-year-old daughter, and mistreated the baby, basically.
Dang.
And the daughter died a few days later in the hospital.
Dang.
So he was convicted of manslaughter and served 16 years in prison. And this is just, like, I don't know, another thing that people add to the list of, like, this is another terrible thing that happened in this house.
Yeah, the house has done fault. This horrible thing.
Which is always kind of interesting. Yeah. Like, I guess if there's, like, a bunch of things that have happened in the same house, then it's like, ooh, spooky.
Yeah,
but also, like,
must be weird here.
Also, like, I don't know, sometimes people are just bad, and you can't just say that they were, like, haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So, because that part kind of reminds me of, like, the Amityville thing of, like, they wrote this book, and they're like, ooh, the dad's being a piece of shit, and it's because he's haunted.
Because it's like, haunted and scary.
Maybe he's just an asshole.
Maybe he always just sucked, and also there's other spooky stuff happening.
Yeah.
Like, they're not mutually exclusive. Like, they can both be happening and not be connected.
Not saying that, no, there's no ghosts, but, like, it does feel, especially since, so, this, our kooky lady Jan, she wrote this book, and that's where a lot of the hauntings come from, is her book, and, that was some Hans Holzer stuff.
Some Hans Holzer influence.
So, there's not, like, any real reason for her to be faking it other than to just, like, write a book and get some interest in it. So I don't know, maybe
it is really interesting. I mean, we're always a little sus when our boy Hans Holzer enters the scene.
Yes.
Because of the whole Amityville thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there can be some method to the madness, you know, like some of it might not be absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
Because Jan, while she's an author, she only wrote this, right? Like, she's not...
No, she was also, a poet. Like, she would write
other
things. Oh, a
poet. That's right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, she was, like, a playwright or something.
So she wasn't, like...
She wasn't a novelist.
She wasn't, like, a super successful, like, author and, like, novelist or anything, I don't think.
Right. Oh, yeah.
This might have been her only book.
This is her bio from the back of her book. Jane Bryant Bartell was an actress, lecturer, and poet. She appeared off-Broadway in Bell, Book, and Candle, Night Must Fall, The Night Is My Enemy, and The Curious Savage. Her light satiric verse has appeared in several national magazines.
Yeah, so she's more of a poet.
Yeah.
But I don't think she really did a lot. Like, she doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
Okay. Oh, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the book's out of print. Like, you can only
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah, you can only get, like, a vintage copy of Spindrift.
Yeah.
Spray from a Psychic Sea.
Spray from a Psychic Sea.
Must say the whole title because it's so awesome.
The title
is
really good.
Yeah.
And, like, it maybe is not that well written. It's kind of, like, it's kind of, like, so bad it's good, it seems.
Yeah.
Because she just, like, has a really weird way of writing. Well, apparently it's, like, right. spooky and fun. So, like, I don't know. If I find it, I'll read it.
I know. But I'm kind of looking to find us a copy now.
I wonder if it's at the library.
Speaking of copies mm-hmm. of vintage books that I thought would never arrive.
Yeah.
Cecilia, do you remember when I ordered the play Baldoon?
Yeah.
It has arrived.
Oh my goodness.
It only took like 4 months.
Oh my
and
God.
I ordered it like in April and it came like maybe 2 months ago. Uh-huh. But we can read the play from the 1970s, Baldoon.
It exists. My God. Okay.
It's on my shelf.
Amazing.
It's a two-act play, so we can it's a CanCon, so we've got to it's temporarily out of stock, so I'm glad I bought it when I did.
Good thing.
Yeah. but maybe we can add Spindrift.
Update on Spindrift. The Toronto Public Library has it, but it's like only for reference. It's in the stacks. Like,
oh my god,
you have to request it.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's how you know.
Let's see if the Hamilton Library has it.
Oh my god, we've got to read this book now.
We do. We have to find it. Damn. I have to find it.
Okay.
There's
well,
also Spindrift, a Canadian book of the sea. which is
that sounds great,
okay.
though.
HPL does not have it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm looking on eBay. The lowest price is $37.60 Canadian with $16 shipping.
Damn.
Oh, and there's a first edition, I think, which is $51
wow.
and $3 shipping from the States. Because wow. there's two different covers. There's a blue cover that shows the house, and there's a red cover that has a girl on the front.
You can get it on Amazon for $88.55.
Dang. Well, it looks like eBay might be the way.
Maybe I'll just keep an eye out. I'll find it at BMV or something.
Yeah. Keeping our eyes out. Our peepers peeled on the secondhand booksellers. I do love the font, though.
On yeah,
the first,
it's so
the
good.
First edition font.
The red one? Or
yeah, the red
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the red one has a great font.
The font is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, maybe you'll post a version of that to the Instagram so you can see the font because it looks so sick.
Yeah, it's so good.
Okay.
Get it on Thrift Books for $37.29.
Oh, hey.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling we could find something. Like, we could find it at, like, some weird vintage store or something.
Mm-hmm.
I should ask some of my vintage seller friends.
Mm-hmm.
If any of them. I don't sell books a lot, so I'm not very good at that. But
yeah. So other ghosts that people have reported.
Mm.
People have seen a woman in a flowing gown who passes through doorways.
That's very dramatic.
People have obviously heard, like, footsteps and flickering lights and all that stuff.
The classic.
And people have spotted a ghost cat.
Ghost cat! Oh, we love a ghost
cat.
Ever since the beginning, we've loved a ghost cat.
Ghost cat. And
ghost cat.
Leanna Renee Heber, who's an author, wrote about the house that it's tucked within a famed high-end real estate area where most of the gorgeous townhouses have stately stoops climbing to glorious first floors. 14 descends down below the sidewalk before you, as does the energy of the building, dropping off sharply. Just walking by it gave me a sinking, troubled, pressed, and fraught sense. The sense that the building is, in and of itself, a distinctly negative presence, and that that something is deeply wrong there.
Ooh.
She also calls it a Manhattan version of Amityville, which...
Oh, which makes sense, because Hans
Of course. But it does, it is weird because, yeah, a lot of brownstones have the steps up, and this has steps down to the entrance, which is, like, below street level.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, a lot of the, like, if we're talking, like, I mean, this isn't the same because this is built in a little bit of it before in the 1850s, but if we're talking, like, Golden Age, a lot of times they had huge staircase up and servant staircase down. So, like...
But this only has...
So that is down. So that is weird that it only has one, and the one that chooses to have is a staircase that's down.
Mm-hmm. Which is odd, but I don't know. For some reason, they designed it like that.
Yeah, they said we don't need opulence.
Yeah. We just want our little stairs down.
Yeah.
And it also is funny because a lot of like websites just have pictures of other houses.
I like that a lot. That's not the one. That's not the death house.
They're like, this is the house of death. And they're like,
you're like, no, it's not. One thing I will say that I thought was really fun when we were on our ghost tour is that it was raining.
Yes, which was spooky. It was
like high spooky vibes.
It was so spooky, and it also was a private tour.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. So much so that I'm sure people stayed home and didn't get a ticket to this tour except for us. And it ended up being, a private tour for the two of us. And we had a great time. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. Definitely recommend checking out the Gangsters and Ghosts tour.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. In New York. I think they have it in Chicago as well. But we were on the New York one, obviously. And, but I think that definitely added to the, like, the ambiance. We were standing out front of Death House just in the slight mist.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're standing there. Stories. And it was so spooky.
So spooky. I was like, ah, no. Yeah.
But yeah, apparently there haven't been many hauntings reported lately. Everyone seems to be pretty chill.
Okay.
The ghosts have chilled out.
The ghosts are like, we're tired. Uh-huh. It's been 100 years.
Also, I was coming across, I just found another one, but a lot of the times when you look up sort of haunted houses...
Yeah.
It will give you, like, real estate listings.
Oh, yeah.
So I just, like, this one is, like, Limestone Mansion on the Upper East Side sells for $56 million.
Wow.
So you see stuff like that, which are, like, kind of, it's, like, just like a brownstone, kind of.
Mm-hmm. On the Upper East Side?
Upper East Side.
Sick. I mean, Upper East Side is super residential. It's super, like, family. Dang.
Yeah.
New York, baby. Yeah. 56 million.
56 million. That's big.
That's way more than J.W. Campbell's art collection.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to sell 2.5 art collections to make that.
Yeah.
Or more. No, 3 art collections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah, real estate's expensive, and sometimes it's also haunted.
Right? And yeah, and even if it's a haunted house, that's how much a haunted house sells for in New York. Like, that's the thing. Nothing phases New Yorkers. New Yorkers are like, whatever, a fucking ghost? Sure.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at, like, people selling their apartments. I mean, it's on Central Park West, but $17 million for an apartment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Central Park West, though, of course. Yeah.
Which I was walking by and I was like, these buildings aren't even that nice. They don't even have, balconies.
Central Park West.
Central Park West fucking sucks. Doesn't even have balconies.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So much. I mean, it is a like pretty bad habit to go on, for me to go on Street Easy.
And, oh my God, yeah. And send me listings.
Yeah, and send you, well, that's for renting. Usually when I'm sending them to you, I'm like, we could live here for a while. Why don't we go?
Yeah.
But I've started also looking at the buy, which is so much more unattainable and so much more depressing. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's spooky. That was New York. Now we're just thinking about how expensive it was, because that was what really spooked me.
That's the really being scary part.
Was being in New York and everything's fucking expensive.
Ain't it just?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how to do any of it. It's so expensive. And it's so wild.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, so the best. Like, I get why people do it every day.
Yeah. So, Carly. Mm-hmm. Have you, since you've been back from New York.
Right.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
I have seen, no ghosts. Mm-hmm. No ghosts at all.
Because you said you didn't see any ghosts while you were in New York, even though it's oldly settled and apparently haunted. That's true. But
super oldly settled, super haunted, for sure. Definitely seeing none ghosts. Also, here back in the Hammer at home, through my routine for the past few days, nothing. Nada.
None zilch. Ghosts.
Zip. No. None ghosts.
Okay.
None ghosts with left beef. That's how it's going.
None ghosts.
For your girl.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I do have a question for you, Cecilia.
Yeah.
And it is a question that goes like this, and it is, have you seen any ghosts lately?
I have not, no.
Oh. Oh, well. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for nothing, then, I guess.
No, I'm
whatever.
Sorry. Yeah.
Whatever, Cecilia. Don't even I've really want new, to know.
Started a new job, and it's in...
Yes!
It's, like, not in a very spooky building, so I don't. Uh-oh. I haven't seen any ghosts while I'm there.
Dang. Mm-hmm. Well, that's... What a shame.
Yeah, it's really important. Really important. Really disappointing. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, it's also really important that you know that it's really, really disappointing. It's really important
that I haven't seen any ghosts.
It's I do so have incredibly important.
This ghost making noise in the background.
Ooh, spooky guy.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
But he's just a cat, so.
Okay. He's allowed.
Can confirm he's expected. Is a cat.
Oh, good. Good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, some days I'm not sure with him.
Yeah.
He's a cutie, but he's confusion. I look at him and I go, is that a cat? So thank you for confirming.
No, can confirm he is a cat. Yeah, so that's ghosts. That's New York.
That's City. New York ghost, baby.
That's right. Yeah, so happy Halloween. We'll see you at the live show.
Oh, my gosh, we will.
Get your tickets.
Get your tickets, baby. You're going to have such a nice time. We're so excited to see you.
We're all going to have a blast.
Kiss you on the mouth. No, to we just talk to you.
We will kiss you all on the mouth. That's the ghosts are everywhere promise.
We have to kiss every audience member directly on the mouth.
Directly
that's on the mouth. That's how it goes. No, absolutely not. I mean, no, absolutely not.
We'll see.
Absolutely not. We'll see.
I will say at least one of you.
Okay, that's a fair. That's fair.
I will make that promise.
Cecilia will make that promise for at least one person in the audience.
We'll get a kiss.
We'll get one kiss. I will play it by ear. We'll see how it goes. That's my promise.
Yeah, Carly will decide in the moment.
Correct.
She doesn't want to make any promises.
No, I'm a more in the moment kind of gal, for sure. So that's how it's gonna go for me.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you can follow us on Instagram at Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod, on TikTok.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter at GAE Pod. And you can buy a dang ticket for the live show. So
tickets,
you can
buy a ticket, baby. They're going, so get them now because, like, if we don't want you to miss out, okay? Like, if you leave it to the last minute, you're gonna cry and be so sad.
We don't want you to do that.
No, and I know I sound really shrill, but it's just because I care. Anyways, we love you. And we'll see you next week. Literally, with our eyes.
See ya next week, yes, with our eyeballs.
What? It's going to be so fun. Okay.
I love you. Bye.
Bye. Happy Halloween.
Ooh.
Wow, 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 wow. Okay, and while the theater, and the Swedish chef now.